Yeah. They're on the way. All over the world, American planes are on the way. You see, the total activity of our air forces is something more than one raid, one base, one objective. Wherever somebody is fighting or getting ready to fight the Axis, that's where our air forces are. The air forces of the United Nations. Now, maybe the plane is made in Baltimore, maybe in Seattle. It doesn't matter where they're made, as long as they get to where the fighting is. Wherever it is, whoever's doing it. Well, some of these planes travel 13,000 miles for one raid. With them go good American ground crews. Yeah, there are a couple of Dodger fans in Russia right now.
13,000 miles from good old Brooklyn.
What is
it? Oh, nothing. Let's get back to work. Now, look, comrade. In English, this is what we call a supercharger. With this gadget, a bomber can fly so high that the sound of its motors won't reach the ground.
Yes.
I'll give you a mechanic the Russian lingo for that, will you?
Yes. Comrade, по-английски это называется супершарджер.
Да.
Да, то есть такой бы мы возможно летать так высоко,
да,
что шум моторов не дойдет до земли.
Да, да.
And at a military airport in China.
Now, this button controls the retractable landing gear. The retracting mechanism draws the gear up into these wells, and this fairing on the shock absorber strut fits over it and makes it streamlined. Give that to your mechanic, will you?
Okay, sir. Jugen anung libole sanjin tatolema un janjana sayo shock absorber.
Huh?
Una nene no nam iman kenji la duya numam balema.
Ah.
With the British in Libya.
This gadget is for full feathering of the propellers. This is a recent improvement on the constant speed and controllable pitch propeller, making it possible to lessen the drag in case of motor failure.
Oh, I see. That is neat. Absolutely uncanny.
Yeah. Yeah. You said it. Uncanny.
All over the world, American planes are carrying the fight to the enemy. And with them are American crews to assemble the planes and instruct foreign crews in their operation. In China, Libya, Russia, Iceland, Newfoundland, Australia. Wherever the fighting is, we send the men and the machines to do it. And it takes time, takes planning, takes a lot of help from home. Not somebody to yelp.
Why don't we do something?
But somebody to help. Now, you take the airplane industry, for instance. A few years ago, there wasn't much of it. A few planes for the airlines here and there. Some attempts to make a cheap, mass-production flivver plane. No money to spend for research or expansion. And then, wham!
We need 60,000 planes to be delivered yesterday.
Well, yesterday, that's kind of soon, even for American industry. I wouldn't be surprised if there was some cussing done here and there before things really got started. And not real heavy cussing, you understand, but words. You see, it seems that we American are a nation of peace lovers, a nation of hopers for the best. In European countries, we're spending all their time and money building tank factories and munition plants and bomber plants.
Yeah, and we were caught with our plants down.
Well, things are different now. I guess it's no military secret that America is more than 50% ahead in aircraft production since December 7th. And our production before Pearl Harbor wasn't bad either. All over the country, aircraft factories are really putting on the heat there. All over the country, aircraft factories are really... They're busy. Close to 100,000 rivets in one plane.
200,000.
Oh, that's so. 200,000.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work there.
Yeah.
You ain't helping. Huh? Oh. Oh, well, I just stopped by for a second. I'm on the radio program. This is war.
Ain't got time to listen to the radio.
Uh-huh. Well, could I ask you one question, seeing how you're one of these aircraft workers we read about?
What?
How about strength? Will there be any more?
How would you like your teeth kicked in?
Oh, no, I wouldn't. I just asked you a question.
Listen, once and for all, we went out on strike before Pearl Harbor. Maybe after the war's over, we'll go out on strike again. But until it's over, the only thing on my mind is keeping this riveting machine hot enough to light a cigar off of. Okay? Okay, that's all I wanted to know. Now, bombers don't just happen. You don't just say, build me some bombers, and then sit back and wait for the brownies to go ahead and do it. What kind of bombers do you want? Do you want a dive bomber for knocking off gun emplacements or cargo ships? Do you want an attack bomber for machine gunning troops or destroying their mechanized forces with small scatter bombs? Do you want a big patrol bomber that flies along with all the grace and speed of an elephant and just as powerful? What kind of a bomber do you want? And another thing, where are you going to use it? Yeah, that's important, too. That's why we have these captive engines. Engines that don't ever get a chance to fly. No glorious destiny for these babies. They just run their hearts out on a test block.
Bring number one engine up to maximum RPM.
Now, a few years ago, an airplane engine like this is... it's kind of impossible. People thought we might have some someday, maybe 20 years or so, maybe more. Yeah, now they're turning them out as fast as they used to turn out automobiles. 1,500 horsepower, 1,850 horsepower, 2,000 horsepower. They're making them like they make hotcakes.
We'll now test for sub-zero horsepower. Turn on the refrigerators and bring the temperature down to 40 below zero.
Gets kind of cold in Norway, in Iceland, and Russia. Some of these motors will be going there. They'll have to be built for the weather conditions they're going to fight in. Which reminds me of something the Nazis say. They say they're planning to build an airplane engine that'll develop 2,500 horsepower. That's a lot of horse. The Nazis also say that the new order will bring sweetness and light to Europe. Yeah, like the sweetness and light it brought to Poland and a couple of other places. Any other place they happen to visit is nice, right? But never mind that. We're talking about horsepower now. And this is what we can say in the United States. There's no other country in the world that can build 2,500 horsepower motors for airplanes except us. And there's no other country that can build 2,000 horsepower airplane engines in mass production the way we're building them right along. And the reason we can do it is because of our research and our skilled labor and the thousands of tests that we give each motor. And why? So that the only thing the bomber crew has to worry about is dropping the bombs. So that our friends in that bombing plane someplace out in the Pacific will get to where they're going and get back. Hey, you, engineer.
Yes?
Say, we want to rejoin some friends of ours. They're flying a medium bomber out over the Pacific, height about 30,000 feet, I think. Can you help us out here?
Well, sure.
Bring up number one engine to maximum RPM. Altitude, 30,000 feet.
There's the blue Pacific. It's not going to be so Pacific in a few minutes. And there's our bomber. Takes a lot of stuff to build a bomber like this one. A lot more than just metal and wood and fabric. There's sweat involved and tears. Men giving up some of their rights. Business giving up profits. Who wants to make profit on blood? Women crying. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in a bomber like this one. Enough stuff to make it a match for the armor plate on a 35,000-ton enemy battleship. It'll do. It's a good plane, and there are good men at the controls. They're getting sort of restless now, maybe a little nervous. They squirm down into their seats, their behinds reaching for solidity against the concussion of anti-aircraft. The rear gunner licks his lips and fingers the triggers of his machine guns. He wonders if he's going to be sick this time. The navigator puts away his calibers and slide rule and takes his station at the turret gun. Bombardier checks his sights. Close to their objective now.
Must be getting close. Keep your eyes open. Let me know if you see anything.
There they are. About 15 miles abeam.
Okay, this is it. Radio. Contact all flight members and inform control.
Enemy sighted. 10-03. Heading southwest. Acknowledge.
We'll spar for individual attack from four directions. How do you want it, Bombardier? Take over.
We'll take the big one. Make your run in diagonally. East-west from eastern. Give me a nice long run in, and I'll drop this second one right down the funnel. All right, let's go down.
Hang on.
That'll do it. Bomb doors open. Bomb bay, open. Check instruments. Altitude 23,000, right?
Check.
Speed 205.
Check. She's all yours.
It's coming now. This is the moment. A split second of time that represents all the war effort of the United States.
Left one, 30 degrees.
This is why you have to sweat around March 15th. This is why you've got to shower down the cash.
Level off.
This is why you save up pennies to buy defense stamps. This is why you walk to work instead of riding in your car.
I'm right.
This is why you women buy sugar 2 pounds at a time. This is why there can't be any more strikes until it's over. This is where your profits go, businessman. 135 million people are riding on this bomber. Their honor and their future is cargo. And it's their might that helps the pilot hold it steady against anti-aircraft fire. It's their power that pushes the bombardier's thumb down on the button that releases the bomb.
Gentlemen, a cigar. Close bomb doors.
Bomb doors closed, sir.
Those cruiser boys can really shoot. Something tells me that son of a... doesn't like us.
Yep, on the starboard side.
Any damage?
No, we've got a hole you can stick your head through, but no damage.
Well, stay out of the draft. Everybody happy? Bombardier?
Okay, Chief.
Back on the job, Navigator?
Right.
Co-pilot?
Okay, here.
Radio?
Trying to contact base, sir.
Good. How about you, rear gunner? You still with us?
Yeah, but I don't know why I bothered to eat lunch before we took off.
What, again?
Again. May I try a few bursts for my gun, sir?
Sure. Go ahead if it'll make you feel better.
Operational for tomorrow. Orders issued by group commander to his staff and squadron commanders at his headquarters. That looks all right. Heard anything from the 5th Bombardment Group?
I'm getting a signal now, sir.
Roger, sail 2 from William Dog 7. Roger, sail 2 from William Dog 7. Acknowledge.
William Dog 7, Roger, sail 2. William Dog 7, Roger, sail 2. Go ahead.
Enemy craft contacted 1455. Enemy craft contacted 1455. Target destroyed.
This is war. You have been listening to Your Air Forces, starring Lieutenant James Stewart, Army Air Forces, and featuring Frank Elbertson as the pilot. The program was written by Ranald McDougall and directed in Hollywood by Glenn Hall Taylor. Lieutenant Howard Nussbaum, Army Air Forces, was associate director. Original music was by Charles Dant. Next week at this same time, the four major networks again unite the resources of American radio to present the 9th in their series of broadcasts for wartime America, Bridge of Ships. This is war.
course, and it's really yours, you know. Now, the day after tomorrow is Army Day. Airfields other than those in strategic military areas will be open tomorrow and the next day. Now, why don't you visit your Air Forces and get acquainted with the men and the machines that make the Air Force what it is? Well, I'll be seeing you. And keep them flying.